Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for everything that we've learned, the things that have been imparted to us, the things you've shown us, and the things you've done in our lives. And Father, we know we're just seeing the beginnings of what is going to come out of this trust challenge as we all have stepped up in our faith in you, put our confidence and reliance on you. Father, I pray for us all tonight that we would see with fresh eyes, that we would hear, with our hearing would be open to hear what you would say to us, that we would hear on the inside just like we're going to hear through our natural ears. And Father, we praise you tonight and thank you for all that you've done and all you're doing and everything we're going to see, all the testimonies that are ahead for us as we learn to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, praise God. Here we are again. I think this is TCI number 8. Then we had some on video, so a total of 10 so far. It's amazing. Been through a lot here over the last few weeks. If you have your Bibles, turn to Numbers 13. You read this in the New King James, Nate, back there. I'm going to read a couple verses at the beginning and then move to the latter part of the book here. Numbers 13, verse 1. And it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." Now, let's jump on down to verse 23. So you know the story about the 12 spies. You know, they're coming up to the promised land, and Moses is going to send them some spies to check things out. And so he picks one from each tribe. And so they go in and they've done their spying. And now they've come back. So let's look at verse 23. "Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the valley of Eshcol, where, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there, and they returned from spying out of their land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.' Nevertheless," got to watch out for that word, "nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." And I wish the story ended there, but it doesn't. "But the men who had gone with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report." You ever got a bad report? "Of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" So the first question I have for you as we read this account, and so just a really, one of those Bible stories, really sad stories, but it's really just life. I mean, this is just people like us. What did God say? What did God say to the children of Israel? What did God say to the spies about the land? Does anybody know? I read it in verse 1. He said to send out the spies, but he said, send them out into the land I am giving you. I am giving you. I'm giving you the land. So he told them beforehand. That's like Jesus when they're going out in the boat. We're going to the other side. God tells you the end from the beginning. So he told them what, you know, what was going to happen, but they weren't paying very good attention to that. So they did come back with a few positives. Clusters of grapes so big that it took two men with a pole between them to carry them. That's some kind of grapes there. Pomegranates and figs. I mean, these are the big time supplies here. I mean, these are awesome here. Huge money crops. And then it said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. In our language, that would be a very prosperous place. I mean, this is the best land. This is a prosperous place. This is a blessed place. But then you have these words, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Or we would say, but. So they say all these things, but then they say, but. So, and what that we've learned from that word, but, is it wipes out everything that's said before it, and it's about to say something else. So then we get into this. They start off with the people are strong. All right, people are strong. Cities are fortified and very large. Okay, we're going downhill here. Then they say, they are stronger than we. So it's like it's getting worse now. He starts off with they're saying they're strong, but now they're saying they're stronger than us. So you ever been in that situation where the bad report just starts getting worse? It just starts getting more and more negative. Then it says land that devours its inhabitants. What's the deal here? I mean, is it like earthquakes or is there like things just opening up and swallowing people? I mean, land that devours its inhabitants. What are they talking about? Then we get into giants. Strong, fortified, devouring land. Now we've got giants. Oh no, giants. And then they say this, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Now this is really, really good here. I mean, it's bad, but it's good. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. They didn't say that we were like grasshoppers in their sight. We said that we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and because of that, we were that in their sight. So this is the classic tactic of the enemy for every one of us here tonight. Financially, but really any area. Relationships, your body, dreams, vision. I mean, anything. This is the classic tactic of the enemy is intimidation. He wants to intimidate you. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that. But whenever you start comparing yourself in the natural to the giants, comparing yourself in the natural, you know, what's in my bank account? How am I feeling? What do I have around out here? Whenever you do that, start comparing yourself to the giant, you've already lost the battle. The battle's over before you even begin. Because you're operating in the enemy's territory. He's the master of this natural realm. That's what he knows, and he likes to work it. And so if you're going to fight him natural to natural, it's not going to end up well for you. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to do that. And he wants you to be defeated before the battle begins. Now, there's so many reasons for the spies' reports. I mean, maybe you have a couple reasons. Why did they come back with the 10 people have the bad report? What are some of the reasons? Huh? Scared, fear. Huh? Didn't have any courage. What's some other reasons? I know it's you have a long day and difficult to think, but what's some reasons why they came back with a bad report? Deceived? Is that what you said, Sean? Yeah. Going by what they were looking at. Huh? Unbelief? Yeah, forgot what God had already done, Susie?
And what he had said.
Yeah, what he had said.
The 10 were looking for all the bad things.
That's good, looking for bad things, kind of expecting bad things. You know, I wrote down just a few, and you guys, we could have a whole exhaustive list here, but one of the reasons was they had a lack mentality. They had an image on the inside of them of lack, of defeat. And, you know, in comparison to us today, it's an image of never having enough, being broke, being in debt. That's our destiny. Living in chaos. I mean, these are just all things that you see. You could call it a self-image, but that's what you see on the inside. Next one, you guys mentioned that, little or no faith. The Bible talks about no faith. Jesus talked about no faith, little faith, and great faith, all kind of levels of faith. But little or no faith. Next one is intimidated by the roar of the opponent. Intimidated by the roar. And that roar, even though, I mean, you haven't fought yet, it's like Goliath standing out there taunting. We talked about that, taunting the children of Israel. I mean, he just looks so impressive and so scary and so mean. And it, what does it do? It causes fear. All of Israel was afraid. So they went in there and they saw these things and they were afraid. And what the enemy is trying to do when he brings fear is to box you in a corner. And this is really, really good for financial affairs especially. Is the enemy wants you to box you in the corner, put you under pressure to make the wrong decisions. And he wants you to make you think there's only one option. But in reality, in God, God's got a million ways. In reality, there's a whole lot of options. We may not know what they are, but the Holy Spirit does. But if you get into the natural, get into the flesh, get into what do I have, what can I do, what do I know, if you're going to operate in that realm, I mean, it's very few options. And sometimes even you get counsel from people, even people you'll pay a lot of money to, and they're going to tell you there's only one option. And so he's backing you in the corner. He wants you to cave, back down, settle, quit, or don't even try anymore. Another thing that hurts us is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. I was raised in family, Catholic values. We were raised and taught to be self-sufficient, not needing anybody. And I remember back in high school, I attended Catholic schools for grade school and high school, and you know, it's private, those are private schools. And I don't even know how this happened. I don't necessarily remember having a conversation with my dad, but I paid all my tuition starting with my freshman year. Got a job at 14, working at the local restaurant, really too young to work. But I got my way in there, started getting a paycheck, and I'm working. And I don't even know how it happened, but I'm freshman year. I'm paying my tuition bills. And at that time, it was about $1,000, $1,000-something dollars a year. That's back in 70-something. And, you know, that same high school today is $15,000. So I don't know if it's the same comparison, but that's what it costs today. So I don't even really know how. So freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year, I paid for my high school. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know, but that was just the way we did things at our home. And again, I don't remember any kind of conversation about it, but it's just self-sufficient, depending on yourself. And that's fine, but what are you going to do when you come to a situation where you've tapped out? And I was facing such a situation when I was in Tulsa. I'd gone there to go to ORU, and then I had was going to switch and go to Rhema. And I didn't get into Rhema because the money wasn't there. So my brother Pat's rooming with me, another friend. They're both going to Rhema, and I'm sitting at home not going to Rhema. And I'm working. I finally found a job. Jobs were not difficult to find. I ended up getting a job working in the men's department at JCPenney's. Had no vehicle and was walking like 3 miles. I mean, every time I tell it, it gets longer, but, you know. And I wasn't barefoot. But I didn't like to get, like, you know, I'm going to work, and I didn't like to get mud on my shoes going into the men's department. And I'm walking through all this stuff, and there's no bus line. I can't afford a cab. Nobody around has a vehicle. It'd be Pat and my friend. They're out of school. I don't know anybody else. And so, you know, how many know? And then, you know, late summer, sun's beating down on you. How many know that can kind of, you have a lot to think about to and from work. And I'm not eating. I don't have enough money for rent. I'm behind on things. I don't have anything in savings. I'm just living from dollar to dollar. And I'm getting really discouraged because you're looking at yourself. I'm not providing. I'm not making it. It's looking pretty bleak. And it got so bad that my parents came down from Minnesota, drove down to Tulsa, and they came to get me. Because, I mean, you know, they, you know, I don't know if they saw a picture of me or something like that, but I was like really thin, and I mean, just, it's just looking bad. I mean, and so they came to get me, and it was just one of those moments in your life. You ever have one of those moments where you got to decide what you're going to do? And I was praying about it and talking to God about it, and my flesh wanted to leave. I just wanted to get out of the situation. I mean, it was bad, and it was getting worse. And but I was just praying about it, and this is what the Lord said to me. He said, I want you to stay, and then I want you to follow me. I want you to stay, and I want you to follow me. And so I told my parents, my mom's just crying because she didn't want... You know, we're in the faith apartment with no furniture. I mean, it just looks bad. And the Lord said that to me, and you know, from that word kind of gave me some courage and some strength, and I began to look to God and to trust Him. And I think about that decision. Had I not done that, I don't know if Susan and I would have gotten married. I don't know if I'd be here today. But I just had wrong thinking. I needed to look beyond myself and look to the Spirit of God. So how can we be like Caleb and Joshua? This is what they said. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now this is in God, of course, not in themselves. That was the spirit of faith. Same situation, same giants, same problems, but yet they looked at it with different eyes. Different mindset, different attitude. They had a confidence in God's ability, His promises, and His faithfulness. And so we're learning a lot of natural things. We talked about budgets. We've talked about the debt snowball. We talked about, you know, all kind of different things. But, and you know, paying your bills and money management, all these different things. But I don't forget the God factor. Don't forget God in the midst of this all, because even if you do everything right, even if you check off all the boxes and handle everything the correct way, it still may not work. And so we need His super added to our natural. We need His super added to our natural. Do all those things, all the things we've been talking about, do those things, but in the midst of doing those things, look to Him. And in the end, He's going to put you over. So I want to talk in the next just couple minutes here real quick about some image changers. Changing that image on the inside. And the first one, obviously, is the whole thing about your words. And we don't even need to read a scripture there. But it says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What are you saying? What are you speaking? How many times a day are we saying the word but? I've got to resist. I live right by a gas station. I've got to resist speaking the gas prices. I'm not going to get into the conversation about gas prices. Because what does it really matter? If it's $20, He's going to provide for us. You know, my father-in-law used to ask this question, what are you going to do if you go in the grocery store and there's no bread or no milk? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to look to Him. He's got a way. But if all you see is lack, if all you see is just things not working, and you're giving voice to that, It's just going to perpetuate. It's just going to continue. Something has got to change. So we have to look at what we're saying, and we all know that. Now the next one is, what are you thinking about? Our thinking gets us in trouble. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 in the Amplified Version. It says this. Do we got it up there? Yeah. Good job, Nate. Only be strong and very courageous, and you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not to it from the right or the hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's what he wants us to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And if you look at this whole thing about meditation, meditation is basically just, what are you thinking? And it says, if you'll begin to think basically on the Word, starts thinking about truth, it's going to change your observation. It's going to change the way you look at things. And then it's going to change what you do. So we've done this already in this trust challenge, is to get some scriptures and put them on cards. And then we've talked about memorizing scriptures. But I think we need to even ramp that up a little bit. I think we need to get four or five. And I think we need to carry those things in our pocket and pull them out and start looking at them and start thinking about them and start meditating and start putting yourself in there. My God shall supply all of Matt Judd's needs. My needs. He'll supply all of my needs. Or whatever the different scripture's in. And start rehearsing and start going on, because we don't even realize that after all these years, there's still just a bunch of junk in our souls. And the enemy is just working to trick you and to deceive you. And we've got to counteract that. What are we thinking about all during? Because, I mean, I can't be with you. I mean, I've got just a short period of time with you and what we're preaching and teaching and other things we do. But what are you thinking about every day? And you're just being bombarded by the world. You've got to do something to counteract. You're already meditating on things already, and that's causing to shape what you see, and it's already doing that, shaping what you do. All I'm saying is feed that same process with the Word. And begin to change your mindset. The next one is, what's keeping you up at night? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. New King James says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments at every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can't just sit there and let the devil beat your brains out. He is constantly bringing these thoughts. And we've got to have, and that goes back to meditation, but we have to have something to resist those thoughts with. I mean, how's that worry helping? How's that worry staying up at night helping you? And going watching TV is not going to cure the worry. Doing something else is not going to cure the worry. Something's got to counteract that. And it's the Word put in our heart, spoken with our mouth. But you got to cast those arguments down. No, I'm not going under. I'm not going broke. I'm not going further into debt. And begin to talk to the devil, because if you don't talk back, he's going to talk to you and talk you into a hole. And you can get to the place where when the storm is raging, you can be at peace. And you can sleep. Even with the worst trial and crisis that you're ever facing. Financial pressure is just like unlike anything. It can just nag at you. That bank balance. It's just so real. I mean, stares you in the face, or those bills or those phone calls or whatever it is. It can just get on your nerves and just really get to you. And are we going to just sit there and take all that? Or are we going to go on the offensive? And that's one of the things we've been... And already during this trust challenge, we've been going on the offensive. But what are we going to do when we end next week? We've got to keep this going. I believe God's got some amazing things for everybody in this room. I believe this is a breakthrough time for Good News Church. I believe this is breakthrough time for you. And the image has already been changing. I can hear it in what people are saying. I can see it in what you're posting on Facebook. I can see it in the expectation, in talking with people. People that I would never have been saying anything about what God's doing or any kind of expectation are now suddenly saying, you know, there's an expectation. There's a hope. But we're going to keep on pressing through. And I'm believing for every single one of these giants to come down. But they will not, they may get knocked down, but if you don't change that self-image, it's going to come back up. What's that voice on the inside saying? In changing that. And it's a process. And I'll tell you this, and this sounds kind of strange, but one of the most challenging faith obstacle or faith situations I've ever had is being prosperous. Because for such of my life, since I was saved and learning about God's provision, I was going through some real financial hard times, and God helped me through these different things, and then began to get promotions and begin to get blessed. And suddenly I had this money and I didn't really need to believe God. You know, and the Bible says prosperity ruins the fool. We want all this money. We want all this stuff. But can we handle it? If you apply the principles from the Word, increase is going to come. It's His will. It's your destiny. But what's going to happen when it comes into your hand? What's going to happen when the tithe check is suddenly more than what you used to make in a year? Oh, that's too much. Or, you know, that giving that got you out of all the jams, now it's like, well, I don't necessarily need to be that way anymore. That was for that season. God's got a plan here. Now, the last thing that I want to mention tonight, and I don't even know if it really fits in my notes, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Last thing is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. If you want to change that image, if you want to change your life, pray in the Spirit more. If you want to move forward financially, if you want to move forward in wisdom, you want to move forward in revelation, you want to move forward in understanding, pray in the Spirit more. Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Paul had, besides Jesus, the most revelation of any man in all of history. The Apostle Paul brought the revelation of salvation by grace, righteousness, all, and he got it by prayer. He had no person, no teacher to explain these things to him. He got revelation by the Spirit of God. And the Lord has got some amazing things for you. He's got businesses. He's got financial transactions. He's got dreams and purposes, all kind of things for you. But sometimes we're just dull of hearing. Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we're not sensitive. A lot of times we're not sensitive. Praying in the Spirit. We're talking about praying in tongues. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. Is a whole lot of things that it will do. I remember at ORU, I'm getting close here. At ORU, I was under financial pressure there, and it was just gnawing at me. I couldn't sleep at night. I had to get up and go walk on the walking track and just pray in the Spirit. And I just pray and pray and pray until I just felt that thing lift. And then I go sleep. Until the next night. Because that pressure just tries to come back on you. You think you got rid of it, but it tries to come back on you. You're praying the perfect will of God. The perfect prayers. But then, I learned this at ORU from Oral Roberts. He said, interpret your prayers. Ask the Lord to bring back to your mind what you were praying about in the Spirit. Because you're praying in a language you don't understand. I've been reading a book by Philip and Fern Halverson, and these are big prayer people. And they've got amazing testimonies of financial provision. And that's not even what the book is about. It's about prayer and about following God and ministry and all that. But in the midst, they have some of the most outstanding financial miracles I've ever heard of. Philip Halverson worked with a man that we know. We actually met this guy. And this guy was working for Hughes Aircraft, and they were working on satellites. And satellites hadn't been invented. Philip Halverson knew this guy, and he would go over and begin to pray out the satellite. He'd pray it out, and then he'd be praying about things, and they'd get revelation about a piece, and then this engineer guy would write it down, and then they would, you know, kind of build it upon there, and the satellites came out of prayer. How much does satellite technology change things? Well, what kind of revelation does God have for you? Do you think the Spirit of God knows some things? Think He knows the future? Do you think He knows about what business deals we should do, who we should work with? Do you think He knows how about to invest money? And so I would really want to encourage you as we're winding down the trust challenge, take some time to pray in the Spirit, especially if you're facing some things, which I know many of us are. And then ask the Lord to interpret back and to reveal it back and to trust Him. He's got some things. For several years now we've been dealing with this roof that's been leaking. And you can kind of just get used to that. I mean, is it right for us to have a leaky roof at Good News Church? But you kind of just get in that mode, well, we don't have it in the bank, and it's, you know, all stewardship campaign and all those other things, and looking at the congregation, and they're not in a place, and you can kind of just get in a place, well, that's just us, we're just the leaky roof people. But I'm telling you that my faith has been challenged and charged during this trust challenge, and we're going to do something about that roof. Paid off, paid for, and completed. Now, what kind of things have you been putting up with? What kind of things have you been putting up with? Let the Lord open up our eyes and say, hey. And I tell you, and then you can be like Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else is saying, we're going down. It's over. Forget it. Don't even try it. But then Joshua, let us go up at once. We are well able to overtake it. And just a boldness rises up. And everybody else is seeing one thing and a boldness. And then you just wake up with an expectancy. Something good's going to happen to me today. Now, before we get into our small groups tonight, well, there's a whole, I mean, I've got a whole list of things we're going to pray about here real quick. First of all, is there anybody here that wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or needs a breakthrough in your prayer language? Because you need that. If that's you, raise your hand. We're going to take care of it. Can't be a Good News church and not know how to pray in the Spirit. You need that. It's like essential. All right, and the next one is there an area that maybe you let go of your dreams? Maybe just things financially have been so tough and rough that you've just let go of even hoping for dreams or thinking big. Is that you? Anybody here? Lift up your hand. Brian, Ronnie, who else? And hey, I mean, I understand. I mean, it's just life. But anybody else? You two guys stand up. And then the next one that I had was kind of before service is about discouragement. Just discouraged by how maybe you're just discouraged by how it looks in the natural. It looks bad. And that is a giant that's speaking to you, and you just need a little encouragement. If that's you, you stand up. All right, believers. All right, ho. Are you guys okay? I don't want anybody. All right, now I want believers to gather around each of these people, and I want to hear some powerful prayers. I want to hear some Joshua and Caleb prayers. And you just be led by the Spirit if you want to ask them, and they can reveal whatever they want. But then I want you to pray. And let's believe God together. Amen. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting breakthroughs. I'm expecting change. Come on, believers, just gather around them right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tanya, you going to pray for them right here? Right here. We got everybody? Okay. Good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.